Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about getting out and doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Rue the Shark, and this is episode one. Today, we define adventure. I talk about me and Rue. There is an interview with a snow-loving Utah dog, and we have some shout-outs. I'm Nathan Berry, and I have been a lifelong outdoors person. I do a whole lot of trail running and road running, and I always look forward to the weekend when I can just throw on some trail running shoes, load Rue in the car, and head out for some time in the woods. Usually that means running our local trails around Memphis, Tennessee, where we live. Rue is a 4-year-old female Catahoula who was found on the side of the road when she was about 2 months old. And if you're not familiar with Catahoulas, they are a working breed. They were originally bred for herding cattle and for hunting, so they need a whole lot of exercise, and she runs a lot. She's a perfect fit for me. Typically, we run an easy 4 miles, 2-3 nights a week, and on the weekends we'll go and do anywhere from about 8 to 16 miles. Over the last 4 years, we've traveled to some really great places, and especially love heading out west for some pretty epic adventures. Having Rue has really motivated me to get out and go places that I just never would have gone before and do things that I probably wouldn't have done on my own. So yeah, when you hear me talk about we, it's because Rue is usually hanging out with me in the studio right here. Maybe every once in a while she might speak up a little bit. Every week, we will bring you useful information, talk about gear and accessories that are necessary or useful. Of course, I'm not sponsored and I'm not promoting any particular brands, but it's always nice to share info and know what works for others and what might work for you too. There will be insight on everything from heading to your local dog park or running trails to driving cross-country and visiting state and national parks. I'll be bringing you interviews with some of my favorite adventure dogs and their humans that I've met through social media or in real life. This podcast is really just kind of a way for me to dive deeper into some of the cool stories behind these amazing dogs and humans and hopefully show off this strong sense of community we have here. Ultimately, my goal is to inspire you and your pups to get out and do some really cool stuff, because life is short and there's a whole lot of adventure out there. But first, let's talk about adventure. What is adventure? Merriam-Webster defines adventure as an undertaking usually involving danger and unknown risks. Okay, let's skip that one. I like safety and planning things. So number two, an exciting or remarkable experience. But what does that mean exactly? In this day and age of social media, I think that a lot of us get overwhelmed with all the amazing images of dogs and people doing fun stuff and going places. Sometimes beautiful, majestic places it might be hard to get to. If you're anything like me, I often suffer from FOMO, or fear of missing out. It's that feeling that every time we head out the door, we should be climbing a mountain or it's just not good enough. But you know, that's a human issue. For a dog, everything is an adventure. Going for a walk around the block, heading to the park, just playing with a ball in the backyard. These are just as important as hiking through the mountains. Dogs live totally in the moment, and it's something I aspire to. It's definitely something that this podcast will focus on. All adventures, great and small. So to be completely adventurous, my very first interview is with someone who I've only just recently met on Instagram and haven't really gotten a chance to know yet. Today, I'm talking to Anna, who is the dog mom of Yuki, a skiing, bikepacking Utah dog.
Thank you. Anna.
Anna, and your dog's name is?
Yuki.
And also known on Instagram as adventure.yuki. And so tell me a little bit about Yuki.
You know, she is a high energy, just sort of little wrecking ball. I don't know. She's got this really great personality. She is pretty much always happy. And I adopted her from a local shelter here in Utah. And I don't know. She's adventurous. She makes me laugh all the time. She's just been the perfect adventure partner. So I've been really happy for the last, 2.5 years, I guess.
She's 2.5 now, and you rescued her back in, I guess you said 2016. So she was
2016. Yeah.
She was pretty young when you got her.
Yeah. She was like 3 months when I got her.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was in a shelter at 3 months.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They adopted her, or like found her whole litter, probably right after they were born. So I'm actually her second owner. Her first owner gave her back to the shelter because their dog. I don't really know who they owned or who owned her, but
They brought her back at what, two and a half months old?
Pretty much. They brought her back. So they had originally adopted her, brought her back, and then I found her. I think she had been back for about a week.
Okay. So that does speak highly. She must be a very high energy dog.
Yes. Yes.
That's funny. But okay, so you've had her for 2.5 years.
I think it was like this. It was December of like 2016 that I adopted her. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So not quite 2.5 years.
So how long after that? And obviously you were kind of talking about, you know, your background of being pretty active. I mean, did you immediately start getting her active, or was it kind of a slow, what was your process of, from the time that you got her, like kind of, I guess, daily life and then getting into your first adventure?
You know, young puppies and stuff like that, you shouldn't be exercising a whole lot.
Yeah.
And it was more of along the lines of I wanted to get her out and about. So the second weekend that I had her, I took her skiing, like backcountry skiing. And I pretty much just carried her the entire time. You know, we'd stop and I'd have a long lead and I'd, you know, let her kind of run around the skis and just kind of be used to out being in the snow and hanging out with me. And then I'd pick her up and I'd put her on my shoulders and I'd ski down, and it was way fun. It was actually super cute, and I wish I would have taken photos, but you know, it happens, I guess. And then it was the third weekend, it was either the third or fourth weekend that I had her, that we went on our first camping trip, and we went out to the Salt Flats. So it's about hour and a half, maybe 2 hours from my house. So you know, I had to deal with a puppy in a car for 2 hours, and then a puppy while winter camping. So
oh wow.
So I mostly,
so you threw her right into the mix.
Oh, absolutely. I held her pretty much the entire time that we were camping, because it was cold.
That's like the Bonneville Salt Flats area out there, is that not?
Yes, okay. It is. So, but my, my boyfriend and I, we have winter gear, and we've had winter gear for a long time. So it wasn't, you know, we weren't cold, and I just made sure that she didn't get cold either. So yeah, it was good. It was
have you ever
fun.
Gotten a backpack for her when she was that young to carry her in a backpack? You know, they have like the doggy backpacks that I've seen. That seems like it'd be a great thing for adventuring with a small pup. But I guess if she was that active, she probably didn't need that when she was a pup.
No. And it was, I knew she would outgrow it fast. So yeah. I wasn't about to buy one. So I pretty much just carried her on my shoulders whenever I needed to. There was one hike we went on that I pretty much carried her for about 2 miles on my shoulders.
Oh.
So yeah, it was adorable.
So that was your first place, and that's pretty close. I mean, even 2.5 hours. So when you're at home, you're living pretty close to Salt Lake and Provo area, Park City area, all of that, which is all, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pretty close drive from any of that area to like just big, expansive, massive, open, natural areas within what, 30, 45 minute drive, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so I actually have a trail system right out my back door.
Oh, even better. You don't even have to drive.
Yeah, yeah. So I just, you know, I can strap the skis on and just go out in my backyard. And I think there's about, it's either 2 or 4 miles, I can't remember, of trail just right out the door. So maybe there's even more. I don't really know anymore.
All downhill too.
Yeah.
So when you get down to the bottom, coming back up.
Well, So there's a mountain that goes up behind me. So I'll climb up the mountain and then I'll ski back down to my house.
Cool. And that's like, that's almost on just a daily basis.
Pretty much. I work a lot during the week. My boyfriend, he usually takes him out to play frisbee and stuff if I'm going to be late. But I was kind of disappointed this year that daylight savings came when it did, because we've been getting some really great snow and now it's too dark for me before going out for work. So,
oh, in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can ski in the dark, but I'm not about to take the dog out and ski in the dark. So,
well, in that situation, I mean, if you've got that much snow, what's the possibility of just walking the dog? Do you even really walk her, or is it just every time you go out, you're strapping on skis? Or, I mean, otherwise, I guess it would just be kind of around the house.
I mostly do skiing just because I enjoy it more. Like just going for a walk, I'm like, well, I could just walk or I could ski. So, yeah. So, you know, we'll sometimes go for short walks, but mostly we just stick around the house and I'll throw the frisbee.
Cool. And then snow will probably be gone here. And well, I guess you're still going to have snow for a little while longer. When does the snow usually go away?
Probably end of May.
Oh yeah. You've got some time.
Yeah. I'm looking out my window right now and I have about an 8-foot snowbank in front of my house. So
with the snow, I mean, do you have to take any special precautions with her, snow boots, jacket, all that kind of stuff? And I know, like, looking at your photos, I never really see her, you know, dressed up. She loves the snow. I'm amazed by how much she loves the snow.
Hence why she is named Yuki.
Well, tell me about that.
Yeah, so Yuki means snow in Japanese.
Okay.
And the first day that we brought her home, it had snowed 3 feet, and you know, I'm a big skier as well, so it was just kind of good to name her after snow because I love skiing and I realized that she also loves snow as well. And I think, you know, your dog kind of takes after who you are as well, and she just kind of knows how much I love snow, so the obsession just grew as she got older.
Yeah, it is always nice. It reminds me of those, you know, you see pictures of like two old people together and they start to look a lot alike. I think it's probably the same with your dog. The more you grow with your dog, the more you're just like exactly the same.
Yes. I will fully admit, though, that my ears are not as large as hers, though.
I think one of my favorite, you might have recently posted, it was a short video of the two of y'all together. I think it was in your stories actually, where you're skiing along and she's with you, but she's doing these snow zoomies up and down the ski path, but then she would lay down and slide on her side, like, like body surfing in the snow. And that was just amazing. I can't get enough
like,
of that.
Yeah. I can't explain why she does it. It just seems to make her really happy. So I just, you know, let her go and it gets energy out and she always seems super happy. So I'm like, that's cool. You do you, girl.
Body sliding. So once the snow does go away, favorite local spots around, you know, do you hit up dog parks? I guess, trail. You kind of mentioned that you do a little bit of trail running. So has she gotten into that at all?
Yeah, so we'll do some trail running. So we'll either do the trail that is behind my house, or there's another one that's probably about 10 to 15 minutes away. We don't really go to dog parks,
yeah,
just because, you know, there's a lot of,
oh yeah,
just a lot of things going on there. So, and not really my cup of tea.
No,
so.
Nor mine. We've been to a couple and they're kind of fun, but I know, especially with Rue, it's not that her recall isn't good. It's just sometimes you can't always predict or trust what other people are going to do. And
Well, and a lot of people aren't paying attention to what their dogs are doing.
Man.
You know, they're on their phone or they're looking away, and it makes me uncomfortable, because I'm like, I don't know what your dog's going to do. I know what my dog's going to do, but
sure,
you know, it's so being out on the trail, it's a little bit more controlled. A lot of the trails, not all of them, but a lot of the trails around here are off leash.
Okay.
So you still meet dogs out, but it's a little more, you know, you see the person coming and you can be like, hey, is your dog friendly? And like, they're like, yeah. So you kind of like let them meet and stuff. And it's not the pure chaos that
sure.
dog parks are. So,
I guess, is that state and local laws, or is that just kind of a local thing, the off leash?
It's just kind of a local thing, because down in Salt Lake, there's a lot of leash trails and stuff.
Sure.
Not that people follow that, but I heard that they're starting to ticket people more.
Oh, really?
They're turning into Colorado. I heard that Colorado, they ticket a lot. But,
okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm not real, to be totally honest, we have leash laws here, but it's so rarely ever enforced. And, you know, of course, to each their own, I think, obviously in places that are restricted to leash only, I think it's great for people to keep their dogs on leashes, but you know, that's of course a whole nother big conversation. But well, I guess the other thing with that, with the trails there, are there separate trails for running pedestrians and cyclists? And if so, I mean, do you ever have issues with that?
So there aren't.
Okay.
There are some bike only trails that are purely downhill, and those are fairly well marked and stuff, but you know, we do have a lot of signs that are like, okay, you have to yield to horses, and then bikes yield to pedestrians, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, when it comes to biking, I mountain bike, so you know, I definitely keep in mind if I'm coming up on a group of people or something. So when I'm walking, I always try and get off the trail and bring the dog, just because it's kind of easier for me to do that than the biker to stop or
sure.
get out of the way or whatever. So I, you know, Yuki likes to stay by me unless I tell her to just go off and play, but she usually comes back and she'll sit right down next to me.
So she's got a pretty good recall.
Yeah, she has a great recall, which is something that I am very fortunate of, and took a lot of training. It took a lot of training, for sure.
Do you use like just verbal commands or treats as well?
Verbal treats, an e-collar, sticks. Sticks work too. So
whatever you've got in your hand that she wants.
Yes, if I have a frisbee and the frisbee is like not flying through the air, she is like giving me laser beam eyes. So
like, give it to me.
Yeah.
Give it to
me.
Yeah.
I, you know, there could be like a moose charging us, and if I had a frisbee, she would still be looking at me. So she has an obsession.
So she doesn't chase after, you don't have any issues with her like taking off after squirrels?
Well, any wildlife? Squirrel. No. No, I worked hard with her and just sort of curbing that prey drive. Not to say that it's not there, because you know, she'll see a squirrel or something, and she's her pointer, so she'll definitely be very alert about it. But I don't have to worry so much about her chasing it. You know, I use the e-collar. It's definitely helped us out in a lot of sort of what would have been very dangerous situations had she not had good recall.
Okay.
So, and the e-collar definitely gives me like a a good peace of mind as well in case we do see the moose, because we have tons of moose up here.
Yeah, so. We've got, especially on our local trail that we run here in Memphis, we've got so many white-tailed deer. I mean, they're just everywhere. Yeah. Because the park that we run in the most is a city park, and so there's no hunting allowed. And so they've just been kind of allowed to breed, and they're everywhere. And it's actually, for us, I've gotten used to... I kind of learned this pretty quickly when we're running along to, especially at dusk even, to snort when I'm running, because it's kind of a signal to the deer. It's what they do for each other when they sense danger. And so when you snort while you're running, all the deer will scatter.
That's cool.
I've had some really close encounters with a deer crossing right in front of me. I could reach out and just touch the deer, and I always think, man, if I had been going just a few seconds faster,
yeah,
that would not have been fun. But
and how does Rue do with it?
Not well. She does when we're at home, when we're in a controlled environment, in the backyard, or she has kind of a closed property area that she can run on during the week. And when she's in those situations and she's off leash, her recall is usually pretty good. But when we're out in a public area or on a trail, well, for one thing, we have a leash law here in the city, and I live right in the city. So our leash law here is pretty strict. But even in the off leash areas, I keep her on leash because sometimes I don't know if we see a deer, she will take off. And I've seen her take off after a deer before, and she's moving as fast as a car. She's just gone in seconds. And so there's always that fear of, oh my gosh, she's going to be gone, and I won't be able to get her back. And so for that reason, we do run with a leash pretty much all the time. And especially when we travel, when we go to, because of laws, I guess, in state parks and national parks, we're pretty much just on leash all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Which, I mean, pretty much all of them are leash only. So, which is good, you know.
And I'm okay with that. Lot of people, I get that feeling that a lot of people are kind of judgmental sometimes when they look at, oh, your dog's on the leash. Well, you should let it run free. And I'm cool with that. I love off leash, but I have no problem with being on leash too, because, you know, it's to each their own, I guess. And
Well, and you know, the nice thing about a leash is there's that little bit of that sense of not really control, but, you know, on the situation where you just kind of, you have that,
it's a sense for of me, security. Sense of security. Yeah. Totally. That's the last thing that I want to be, is 1,000 miles from home on a trip, on a road trip, and have to be looking for my lost dog. So yes. I think, I'll keep her on a leash.
Or being the guy who's like running down the trail, like yelling after his dog, you know.
Back.
Yeah.
I have learned, though, with running, even though we run on a leash pretty much 100% of the time, and I say leash, I think a lot of people, when they hear leash, they think of like a handheld. We do...
you do the hands-free?
I do hands-free. We have an around-the-waist, almost similar to a juring, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes,
it's hands-free, and it connects. She has a harness that she runs with. And I have two connection points, one on the front when we're just walking, and then one on the back towards the tail end.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
And I'm pretty tall. I'm about 6 feet tall. So my running, my gait is really wide. And I learned this pretty quick running with her when we're moving. And if she comes to a stop, we need space in order for me to come to a stop. So I've had a couple moments where she's come to a stop to smell something and I didn't realize it, and I ran into her.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have a lead that allows us about 8 feet of space.
Oh, that's perfect.
And it works really, really well.
Yeah. I, I was always worried about that running with Yuki, and I definitely trained her to run about probably a foot behind me.
Oh, wow.
So she runs, yeah, so she runs, like right behind my right leg.
Okay.
Yeah, and so she does a lot of sort of following me in that regard, just because, you know, we have a lot of trails that cut off in different directions, and I just wanted her to like stay with where I'm going rather than wandering off to wherever.
Since she runs behind you most of the time, have you ever had any issues with her clipping you from behind?
No, I haven't. Yeah, because we worked, so I started working with her on pacing probably when she was about 4.5, 5 months. And it's something that her and I constantly work on. We work on it skiing, we work on it on a bike, we work on it walking, running, everything. You know, she does a pretty good job at keeping track of where my pace is and, you know, getting the signals that I'm about to stop moving.
Yeah, those signals are great. And
yeah.
I think what I've found always over time, the more I run with her, the more I've learned to almost just perceptibly pick up on those little bitty mm-hmm. signals that they give mm-hmm. to, whether it's just like, hey, I need to stop. I need to stop for a pee, or I need to turn this way. And
Totally.
So that's always a really cool thing, and especially the pacing thing. I love to hear that from other people too, that you kind of, I guess kind of what we mentioned earlier, as you grow together, your personalities grow together, but you also like mm-hmm. learn each other's, almost like you communicate with each other.
Yeah, totally. It was kind of like how your dog can pick up with when you're sad or something. I think they cue in on our emotions.
Oh, absolutely.
And our body language like really well.
But even beyond it becomes like, even during your activities, they pick up on your speed and stuff like that, pacing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're running, you're going out on those regular trails, I mean, do you have a specific trail or a specific distance that you do?
So for trail running, I have a specific distance just because I can't really run anymore.
Okay.
more because I don't enjoy it as much as I used to. So I usually only run about 2 miles. But with biking, it's all based on intensity.
Yeah, so, and so much more low impact too.
Yeah. And so if we're doing a super intense cross country, like uphill, downhill mountain bike, I think I limit it to 7 miles for Yuki and I. And, you know, she's been trained into running these miles.
Yeah.
And we stop for water breaks, and she gets food and stuff like that. So it's,
and I think a lot of people hear that and they hear, whoa, your dog ran how far? And then you have to kind of like stop and back him and tell him like, whoa, yeah, but we've been doing this for several years. We started out easy and we've built up to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I taught her how to drink out of my Camelback and all sorts of fun things like that.
Yeah, I've taught Rue how to drink out of, when I run, I usually carry a hydration pack, and it does have like a Camelback spigot,
uh-huh.
kind of the mouthpiece, uh-huh. but I also carry 2 water bottles, and I've taught her how to drink from the water bottle.
And perfect.
I'll hold it out for her.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great.
She does really well with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's always important to point out to people, it's like, you know, even with doing 7 miles, it's probably not really hard pace 7 miles, and we're stopping every once in a while to have a drink of water or whatever it takes, and just kind of keeping everything under control, never getting out of control. Well, let me rephrase that, because Rue will get out of control. When you're on the bike, does she lead or does she follow the same as when you're running?
No, so she follows.
Okay.
She stays on the inside back of my right tire.
Okay.
See, we've been biking together about a year now. I first taught her earlier than that, just sort of walking next to the bike on the leash and where she should stand.
Yeah.
She does pretty well now. Sometimes if we have a really big turn and she sees the trail ahead, she'll try to cut me off. the jerk. She definitely doesn't think I bike fast enough. So
I get that plenty.
Yeah, that dog, she if she was running full speed for 7 miles, I think she'd be perfectly happy.
Sure.
So she is just all sorts of energy.
I think that that's something that Rue and I deal with, especially learning the pacing thing, is it's really similar to what you almost see in maybe inexperienced runners or bikers where they go out way too fast. Of course, you know, the doggo doesn't really get, I mean, they no. understand, you know, staying with you and kind of pacing, but so many times they'll go out and just super excited and just, yeah, in the beginning. And then by the end of it,
Yeah, it's like when you first start hiking and your dog's doing like the first 2 miles, like running ahead of you and running yeah. back and then running ahead of you. And then by like mile three, they're just like, okay, I'm just going to walk
I'm
next to you.
Because
like, how many miles are we doing? Because I don't know. And you're like, you're probably doing twice as many as the human does, but that's fine.
Hey, if they sleep well that night,
yes.
that's great.
Yeah.
So running, biking, beyond just local places, what are your favorite places to get out to further away from home? You know, you mentioned the Salt Flats, but anything further than that? Any parks that you've headed to?
I love anywhere in southern Utah. We've had a lot of really great adventures.
Beautiful area.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. There's just some amazing desert down there.
And I'm jealous because you're so much closer to it than I am. It's a, I know. It's a 2-day drive for me.
It's 4.5 hours to Moab, maybe 4 hours to Moab.
No.
So, yeah.
That's great.
It's awesome. And I'm super lucky. I'm very fortunate to live here. It's great.
So Yuki travels pretty well in the car?
She does. She does great in the car. And we used to, when she was really young and she couldn't manage her energy as well as she does now, we used to bring a bully stick in the car and mm-hmm. she'd chew on it. So we'd be driving with the windows down because, of course, they stink really bad. And she'd just be gnawing away on it. That way she wouldn't be like pacing back and forth in the car.
So when you're driving with her and mm-hmm. you're on longer road trips, how do you manage, I guess, you know, stopping? And the reason I ask this is because I'm curious, because I've driven pretty far. I mean, 2 days drive, 2.5 days drive with Rue. And just, I'm always curious about how other people time their potty breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like finding time to stop.
So we do probably about every 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours.
Okay.
We get out of the car and we'll, you know, depending on where we are, if we're on BLM, you know, I'll just let him out and we'll maybe play Frisbee or throw the ball for 10, 15 minutes.
BLM, like Bureau of Land Management, I guess, like public land.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Public land. So if we're on public land, then we'll just get out and hang out. And then if we're not, then I'll sort of Google open spaces and find areas where dogs can be off leash, and then we'll go there and just throw the ball. And
or if you're like me, especially when I'm trying to get somewhere cross country, it's on the interstate and trying to find every single rest stop along the way.
Yeah. And we use it's the Kurgo, trying to remember the name of it, but it's this bowl that doesn't spill.
Okay.
I mean, okay, it can spill. One of the dogs definitely sat on it and it spilled in the car. And
gravity is still in effect.
yes, but it doesn't slosh around as much. And I'm trying to remember the name of that bowl.
Well, I think this is also one of the reasons I'm so conscientious about stopping so often. I don't keep an open bowl in the car for Rue, but we stop.
Yeah.
I'm one of those like overly careful parents. It's like every 45 minutes I'm stopping. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Do you need to use the bathroom? Do you need to get out? Do you need anything? So yeah, I'm always stopping to make sure she's got hydration and
happy. Yeah. Cause it can get, especially over the summer when you're driving, you know, your dog can get fairly warm sitting in the car.
Oh yeah.
So it's important to make sure that they stay hydrated. It's the Kurgo Wander Water Dog Bowl.
Okay.
That's the one that I have that we stick in the back of the car.
I'll mention that in the show notes here in case anyone's curious about looking up. And of course, just to let everyone know, we're not sponsored and we're not promoting any particular thing, but these are just the things that we like to, that we own and use and yeah.
Yeah. Accumulated over the years.
Oh man, so many things. And we're the same way where we've bought multiple bowls and all sorts of things and tried to see what works.
And tried them, seeing which ones the dog decided to eat, you know, that definitely happened.
Well, I've actually been interested in finding, I know that they have those, the squeeze bottles with the bowl on top. And I've actually thought about getting one of those so that we don't have to, but I enjoy stopping. I kind of enjoy being able to be driving along to every couple hours. I have an excuse to, oh, look, I've got to get out over here in this beautiful field.
Yeah.
I've got a dog. Oh. She's got to stop.
Yeah.
So that's always fun. But yeah, beyond just, you know, having to stop and use that, I think it would be nice to have something like that in the car. Definitely. Yeah, we just never have. We've never used it. Beyond that, I mean, do you buckle your dog in?
I do not. No. Okay. I've thought about it just because safety is an important thing, but we always have so much gear in the car.
Sure.
I'm not even sure how I would buckle her in.
And for us, she usually wears, she has her, like I said, her running harness, and she usually keeps that on when we're driving. It's pretty lightweight. And I've got the leash attached to it, and I wouldn't say it's buckled in, but she is attached. She stays attached to the car pretty much all the time until, you know, I unhook her and then she's attached to me.
Where do you buckle her in the car?
Like I said, the leash is, it'll be attached to her harness, and then I'll connect it to where the baby harness, the baby seat harness connection point thing is in the car. If not that, if I'm in a hurry, a lot of times it's just connected to my seat back. So she's still attached. So she, even if like the door opens up, she can't just take off, or if the windows are open. And I have actually had that situation where we're driving through an area and there's been wildlife on the side of the road. And she has wanted to go out of the car, and luckily, because she's connected, it's kept her in the car. So
that's good.
That's been helpful. So, do you have plans coming up for any really cool adventure trips?
The weather is starting to get really nice in southern Utah. So we're going to kayak pack next weekend.
Oh wow!
So she loves to kayak. So. She sits on the very front of the kayak, and you know, she wears a life vest.
Okay.
And you know, she'll jump off and she'll swim, and then probably after a little bit I'll just pick her back up and stick her on the front of the kayak again.
Okay. And I've kind of looked through, obviously I've, like, you have so many photos on Instagram. Yeah. You have an amazing, amazing collection of photos.
Thank you. Thanks.
And a lot of these look like kind of the Lake Powell area, which is just all those little canyon areas and right off the lake. So, man, yeah. So I'm assuming that there's got to be some photos in there of her wearing a floaty or one of a doggy PFD.
A life jacket?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
She actually, I got her a life jacket when I was teaching her how to swim, because she originally didn't want to swim, because I wasn't really into the whole idea of throwing your dog in the water and they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, you know, she's so high energy, it gives her anxiety, and I don't want to create such a negative association with swimming, because I absolutely love to swim. And so I got her.
On that note, I'm scrolling through the Instagram and I just came across the amazing photo of the big pink flamingo.
Yes.
The pink flamingo raft.
Yeah. We should probably like link that somewhere in the notes, because it's pretty funny.
Oh, totally. I'm gonna have to get you to send me that photo so that we can highlight that one. That one's great.
I totally will. We got her the life jacket, and it probably took her about 3 to 4 months, I think, before she was comfortable swimming on her own. But the life jacket was definitely a game changer, because I think it sort of brought her bum up out of the water and
Yeah.
kind of let her swim a little bit easier. It gave her confidence. It was really interesting to sort of watch that and see how your dog progresses with it.
Sure. Oh, and here's a
Yeah.
great photo of her sitting on the front of the kayak too. So, yeah,
Yep.
absolutely. And
Yeah.
then right next to it is her just hard charging through the water. That's
Yep.
great with the
Yeah.
PFD on. How were you
Yep.
able to coerce her into the water on that first, like when she first kind of went?
When she first really did it, I think it was with a frisbee.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to get her up until that point, she would get into the water, but she wouldn't do sort of like the lift off to the swimming portion. And so then, I kept throwing the frisbee out, and she'd go into the water, and then she'd look at me and she'd whine like, "Well, the frisbee's there, I can't reach it." And so then I'd get into the water and I'd grab the frisbee and I'd tell her that she needed to come out to get it, and she just ended up doing it. And then, I did that for probably, God, it had to have been at least an hour more, and she just got used to it and really enjoyed it.
Nothing like your favorite toy and your human out in the water to get you into it as well, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was definitely a lot of bribery involved with teaching her how to swim.
That's Southern Utah. But I guess the real big question, and I'm gonna obviously this is the first episode, so in the future I think this will probably be a common thing. I'm going to say that I'm going to take care of all your responsibilities, your expenses, taken care of. You don't have to worry about work. If you could pack up and go anywhere and do anything with Yuki, where would that be?
Can I say everywhere?
It
Is that a perfectly acceptable answer?
is, but I'm going to hold you to a specific, if you could go to like a specific location, we'll include road trip on the way to a specific location.
Actually going to the Caribbean and spending time just on a beach and hanging out, that would be way fun. That would be a lot of fun. The other one that I want to do, which is like way more likely that I'll be able to do, is go up to Canada and just go to Banff. I haven't been there yet, and
Yeah,
I really,
beautiful.
yeah, I really want to go. So,
Yeah, and that's definitely high on my list. I've got that
yeah,
one. All right.
it's just gorgeous.
So road trip through the Caribbean or through Banff to the Caribbean.
Yeah,
One of those
there we
two
go.
will be the end location. That's cool.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'd want to end in the warm place
That'll work.
rather than go warm to cold. So.
That would work. I guess you got
Yeah.
plenty of snow the rest of the year, so it's nice to get away
Yes.
from it for a little while.
Absolutely.
So I guess, yeah, to kind of close this out, is there anyone either in Instagram, dog accounts, or anyone that you follow or in real life that you kind of want to give a shout out to, someone you think it's cool that we should see? And of course, all of these I'm going to put into the show notes as well. So if you don't catch it all here, on the podcast, you can always go take a look at the show notes and get all the spellings and everything. So yeah, hit me. Who you got?
So my favorite dogs are Willow, Bandit, Baxter, Wilson, Deuce, Coda, Finn, Cooper, Roe, Wally, and Zephyr.
That's a
So
list.
you
Oh,
guys,
I already
yeah.
know. I know like half of that list already.
They're great. They're
Bandit,
all
Bandit's Mighty
such,
Adventures. And
yeah.
yeah, Zephyr Trex. Oh, those are some great ones.
Great. Yeah, they're great accounts. So,
Anyone else? Anyone
yeah.
in real life?
Shout out to my mom for just reading my captions all the time and making sure that I'm not making any grammatical errors. Thanks, Mom. Love you. And then also my boyfriend, just a shout out to just say thanks for putting up with all the dog photos and all
I love
of,
the dog, but I still love you too.
and the hours on Instagram and doing photos or editing photos and all the packages of dog gear constantly.
Well, awesome. Anna, thank you so much. This has been
thank you.
Really, really super cool. And I can't tell you just how happy and how excited I am, because this is it. This is the first episode, and man, I got you on here, and I got Yuki on here, who's just an amazing dog. So I really look forward to, obviously, everyone go and check out these accounts, go look at the show notes, and follow everyone here, because some amazing, amazing photos, and a lot of them. You got a lot to look through. So.
Yeah, well, congrats on the show. I can't wait to see who you interview next, and it'll be way fun.
Thank you.
This is great.
And and maybe hopefully at some point when we're out in southern Utah, Rue and I, and we can do another recording.
Yes, we could do a real life recording.
Absolutely, that's something I look forward to. Well, thank you again very much. Yep. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that was Adventure Yuki. Please go check out her Instagram account and look at some beautiful photos of Yuki having a blast in Utah. And then to see that list of shout-outs to some other terrific accounts, go to my show notes either at adventuredogpodcast.com or at adventuredogpodcast on Instagram. And since this is the first episode, I'm going to throw in a couple of my own shout-outs. I have been truly inspired to start this podcast because of Brandon at Doggy Club Podcast, who started in October of last year. I originally heard his podcast, and my first thought was, oh, I can't wait to hear about all sorts of dogs. But he focuses primarily on bully breeds and pits and does an awesome thing. He's bringing out awareness in ways that are just great, and I don't want that to change. So go check him out. That's Doggy Club Podcast. Also, a quick thank you to my friend and running coach, Kevin, at Can't Stop Endurance for some really great technical advice on getting this podcast off the ground. If you like what you hear today, please share it. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Spotify, and let me know what you think. If you are, or if you know an adventure dog that should be on the show, feel free to DM me on Instagram or email me at Nathan@adventuredogpodcast.com. Thank you for listening. Now go have an adventure.